Opening day. What a day as we get set for Royals Twins 3:10 this afternoon. Happy to welcome on and say good morning to the owner of the Royals, John Sherman, joining us on KCMO. Mr. Sherman, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's just start off with the excitement of a new season, as you and I spoke about and joked about before we got on the air. It's not 35 degrees this morning. There's no snow flurries during the national anthem, so we're already off to a better start.
Right. No, absolutely.
How about the excitement?
We're also starting on time. You know, last year we had a work stoppage that backed us up.
Right.
So it's really exciting. We're going to have a big crowd today. The weather's going to be good, so we'll see where we are.
How do you feel just, you know, a lot of off-season changes dating back to September? How do you feel overall about the changes you've made and what that means for your on-field product this season?
You know, I feel good about the changes. I think those are generating positive results. The changes we made, you know, late last year, I think our new manager, Matt Quattraro, he's really created a great culture. We saw it in surprise. And you know, we brought in a new regime on our pitching team, our pitching development team, our pitching coaching team. And I think we're seeing some progress there as well. But probably the sometimes change is just good in general. And these were well thought out changes, but there's a lot of energy. The players are excited. And I'm seeing a different vibe down in both spring training and here. At the end of the day, the lights are going to come on here in a few hours, and we'll see where we are.
Absolutely. Now, this is obviously an interesting year for this team because of what's going on the field, but also what could be happening off the field as you guys explore moving where you're playing baseball physically to somewhere else in the Kansas City area. Let's talk locations first off.
Okay.
I am fascinated by this North Kansas City option. How, where is that at in kind of your mind? How intrigued are you by North Kansas City? And what does that option mean when it comes to, you know, stacking these opportunities that you possibly have?
North Kansas City specifically?
Yes.
You know, the way that, you know, we were working, you know, primarily in Jackson County, just the partnership that we've had for 52 years and that. But, you know, when you announce that you're going to invest $2 billion, you get some phone calls. And we got some phone calls that didn't make sense. I mean, I appreciate the people thinking on our behalf, right? I think you always should be open to ideas. But I would say that we have been impressed by the people in North Kansas City. It's a group that's creative. They're entrepreneurial. They have, you know, done some preliminary work with municipalities and political leaders. So, you know, that's something that they're certainly in the mix as we try to evaluate the best spot for this team long term.
Did the Kansas side call you?
You know, it's really difficult for baseball on the Kansas side. You know, Johnson County's done a pretty good job in developing their real estate. If you think about close in, there's not a lot of space. I think if you thought about going all the way on the west, you know, west side, like that's in some ways another place like this, maybe different, but a destination where we're looking to really create, you know, it's not just 81 nights a year. We want to generate community impact, economic activity, 365 days a year. It's got to be a world-class ballpark and district that keeps us competitive with our peers. And, you know, ultimately, and it has to be good for the community, but ultimately, the, you know, developing more revenue streams will help the on-field product. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of things we want to accomplish with this franchise, right? We want to win on the field. We want to secure the future. That's what this. We want to do good things in the community. These franchises use this brand and franchise to do. But really, the on-field product, that's where it starts, and that's what lifts everything else up.
The economics of baseball, as you alluded to there, are what they are. So there's a belief that this ballpark village that is about a $1 billion investment, that as I understand it, is completely funded by the ownership side of things, will then help fund the baseball team, correct, to the on-field product? Is that a theoretical blueprint for what you guys have laid out?
Yeah, I think it should create more revenue to help us be more competitive and perhaps carry a higher payroll. If you think about the Atlanta Braves, you know, they went out and it's a little bit different in that they went from kind of in the middle of the city, I would say, to a close-in suburb, I guess, right? But they took raw ground, and they have totally developed 85 acres and, you know, last year I think they had 2.7 million people in their ballpark and 10 million visitors to the Battery. And that team, if you look at what they've done, they have utilized their growth in revenue to lock up and extend their the core of their team for the foreseeable future. And so they're in a really good spot. they're bigger market, a little bit bigger market team anyway, but they've utilized that extra revenue to really kind of set the table for sustainable success on the field.
It's interesting you bring them up because that's kind of the model maybe that Clay County and North Kansas City are going for, where they're not the hub, they're not in the loop, but they're suburban in a sense, and look what Atlanta did. Is there a potential correlation there?
I guess in the way that it would be, if we go downtown – think about our downtown. This opportunity was talked about 15, 20 years ago with the Glass family. And, you know, downtown Kansas City, Missouri, had developed a lot of momentum since then, right? Mm-hmm. The T-Mobile Center, Power and Light, but also you look right now in the real estate news, new high-rise apartments being talked about. It's a really strong piece of residential growth. So if we were to go down there, it's really taking advantage of that and creating more density and economic opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I guess another approach would be the raw ground. And so North Kansas City, it's not quite there's development up there. There's things going on, but there is space there. Mm-hmm. So, it would probably be more like like what they've done in Atlanta, kind of the Battery, creating your own destination.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, John Sherman's joining us on KCMO. Of course, opening day out at the K. Looking at right now what's downtown, you've got Power and Light District. You guys obviously want to really have your own thing going within the confines of the downtown vicinity, so to speak. Is there concern that right now Power and Light is still subsidized by the city of Kansas City, Missouri? So how confident are you that there's demand for another entertainment district?
You know, I think we're looking inside the loop downtown. I think it would be I don't think it would be something that would take away from Power and Light. I think it would actually enhance Power and Light. I mean, that's six blocks away. Our development might be more focused on – there'll be some certainly entertainment bars and restaurants around the ballpark itself that are game day, close down the street, the pedestrian streets. I would think where we're looking, it would enhance Power and Light, and that could be really the byproduct of that could be helpful to the city.
Okay, so that theoretically you're saying could actually help Power and Light not need as much city subsidy money to.
I think so.
Keep
I think
that
I think that
going.
That's how I'm thinking about it when we look on that particular site.
How about if you do stay in Jackson County, you'd want to have something in front of the people. You mentioned yesterday, as early as August for a vote, as late as maybe next April. Eastern Jackson County, the people in Eastern Jack are going to say, hey, this is really convenient for me. Why do I want to go downtown? How do you sell them on extending a sales tax when it may make for a more difficult time for them to go see a game?
Yeah, I think, you know, that was the one of the reasons we had a public meeting in Independence, because we wanted to hear that, because that is clearly, and the polling shows us that too, that Eastern Jackson County, we're kind of leaving their neighborhood, I think long term, it's so compelling to kind of create all this economic. It's good for the region. I think, at some point, I think the people in Eastern Jackson County are kind of they're going to want to know what the chief's plans are. And at some point, they'll be part of this conversation as well.
Yeah, and I know you referenced that yesterday. What's been the conversations with the Hunt family? Because it would seem to me that, I mean, the mayor told us this morning that maybe these two things do not have to perfectly coincide. Your needs and the chief's needs and your wants and their wants. But it would seem to me, maybe to the taxpayer, they may want to know what each of you want. So how are you visualizing those conversations?
I think it's a complicated process. We are connected at the hip here. Mm-hmm. You know, this was a great vision 50 years ago when you think about it, two side-by-side single sports venues in one place. Mr. Kaufman and Mr. Hunt had great vision. It may be that it still works for football, right? I mean, eight to 10 games a year, big tailgate culture. But you look around the country, baseball, and again, it's not just 81 nights a year, it's 360 days a year. It just makes more sense. But there's going to have to be some coordination with the Chiefs. I mean, there's we have a lease that, there's a most favored nation clause. We each have approval rights over the other. So, I mean, those aren't bad things.
Yeah,
But it's going to require that we're all working together. And we have been. Look, the Chiefs have been great partners. They appreciate how we've stayed in close communication with them. when we started talking about this, I think they're certainly on a different timeline, and I respect that. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say that there's going to have to be some conversations and coordination on all of that between the two franchises.
So your timeline, it seems like, is a little more aggressive. You're looking at 27 or 28 for a theoretical opening of something.
Yeah, and we're committed here. This lease and it runs through the 2030 season. Mm-hmm. If this makes sense, there's just good ways to refinance the bonds. And so one simple way to look at it is that if you're in Jackson County, you take the and it is a continuation, so it's the same money, but it is asking the taxpayers to go forward more. But mm-hmm. if you take that same money that's being used to maintain these old buildings and you redeployed it, at least in our case downtown, it creates so much more economic, and then combine it with our investment, that's a pretty easy business decision. Mm-hmm. But it's something that the taxpayers will have to decide.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
And how about the taxpayer, that 3/8 cent sales tax? If that rolls over as it's written right now, half goes to you, half goes to the Chiefs.
Right.
It doesn't seem like there's enough money there to fund the stadium. So do you plan to have to go to the state to look at the state legislature for money?
There would be more. I would think there would be more than that base level for both teams. The Chiefs would need to speak for themselves. But, for us, if we were to go downtown, there's a lot of investment in infrastructure that's important. So maybe some combination of the city and the state would participate.
Have you had those conversations?
We've had early conversations about that.
Okay. So you have
the more meaty conversations have certainly been with Jackson County, but certainly with the city, the mayor. We've stayed in close communication with the mayor and Frank White, or the county executive here, as to what our thoughts are.
And what would that ask be theoretically of the city when you look at Quentin Lucas and the city council? Would it be more infrastructure based on roads and things like that? Is that something the city
I think that's where most of those conversations have been, more in roads, and that's where the state could be involved in that as well with the city.
Okay, so the state could obviously play a role in that too.
Egress and ingress is really important. People in Kansas City say there's parking, but there's a lot of parking spaces down there. Mm-hmm. But making sure our fans could get in and out easily is really important to us and big part of our criteria. And down there would have to be some work in the loop and with freeway exits and things like that.
How about this star building that's popped up, the pavilion? It seems to me, based on what I'm hearing, if you want your own entertainment district, kind of latching on to power and light doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, it's just like North Kansas City, the owners of that, they're also creative and they have some creative ideas. But that area has some challenges. There'd have to be the land acquisition around it would be challenging, and even just the stadium footprint itself, it's pretty tight. But maybe you've seen some of the renderings they put out there. I appreciate creativity. I appreciate people thinking entrepreneurially about different ideas. So I appreciate what those people are doing. That side has some challenge. I do think. you know, that'd be a really cool place for the stadium. When you think you're kind of in the, you're in the middle of it, you're in the crossroads, the T-Mobile Center is right across. You could actually, one concept would be, you know, extending that cap, you know, a little bit further east, so it would just kind of blend into downtown and the Sprint Center and Power and Light as well.
Is there a location we haven't talked about that we should be talking about?
I don't think so. You know, there's a couple of, there's one or two places that, you know, there's some been some private conversations. And but, you know, in these two cases, North Kansas City and we've been talking about East Village a little bit, North Kansas City and the owners of that land and the developers have, you know, they've talked publicly about this and we're really responding to that.
That's interesting. Well, Mr. Sherman, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Congrats on another opening day, and should be a pretty exciting next few months, hopefully on the field. And I know it's going to be exciting.
Don't
off
forget
the field.
About the rule changes, too. MLB's doing some smart things that I think is going to help the product on the
field. I agree. Get these games to 2.5 hours again. Keep them moving. We don't need guys standing in the box for 20 seconds.
Take the dead time out. It's a crisper game. We saw it in spring training, and our fans are responding very favorably.
I think that is going to be exciting. Do most owners seem on board with all these changes?
Totally.
Yeah.
No, the owners are on board. And, you know, we had a process with the players, and the players were part of that process. So there's some tweaks here, you know, like if a pitcher's backing up third, you know, we're not going to start the clock. Those are things that we'd learned in spring training. So when he gets back, in that example, so different things like that. If the catcher's still on base and he has to put his gear on.
Yeah,
you know, there's a time coordinator right here. But at the end of the day, things are moving more quickly.
Last thing, actually, since we haven't touched on it, the Bally's TV deal. I mean, I know that's something for a lot of fans that's frustrating right now. They just can't watch this team. And, you know, I know you guys have big plans. You want to get that enthusiasm back in the mix to as many Kansas Cityans as you can. What's the future of this TV deal that's been frustrating for a lot of fans who have cut the cord especially?
Well, you know, and you're saying set aside the financial challenges. I mean, we certainly want more access. Reach is more important than revenue for us right now. There is the Bally's app. We're trying to work with them to make that cost effective. Long term, I would just tell you that as a league and as a club, we're totally committed to more reach, more access. Because that's what's going to rule the day. Just the World Baseball Classic that we just saw. 65 million people watched some games, and a lot of those were in Japan and other places. But, you know, we do need that international exposure, too. So we got to be able to deliver our games to people in Iowa without a blackout. But really, we want people in Europe. And
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
In the Pacific to watch us as well.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Sherman, thank you for being here. We appreciate it, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right, very good stuff.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.